First, the Food and Drug Administration is proposing the most drastic action against the tobacco industry in a decade or so, an outright ban on menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars. Both kinds of products have disproportionately harmed African Americans. Black leaders have accused tobacco companies of intentionally marketing to African Americans, especially African American women. But the makers of Marlboro Menthol said in a statement that banning menthol cigarettes or flavored cigars is an extreme measure not supported by science or evidence. The proposed ban doesn't cover flavored e-cigarettes, which the FDA had been threatening in an effort to reduce vaping by minors. The agency is calling, though, for stores to only sell them from closed-off areas inaccessible to teens. Del Monte Jefferson is the executive director of the National African American Tobacco Prevention Network. Del Monte, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Now, why are these menthol cigarettes, menthol tobacco products, such a concern for African-American health in the United States?
Well, mainly because African-Americans that smoke, predominantly smoke, menthol-flavored tobacco products. I think the last numbers we have us that smoking menthol is at 88%. And that's an incredibly large number. And so banning menthol would definitely improve African-American health and save lives.
What's some of the history behind that? Was this a product that was especially marketed or targeted to African-American communities?
Yeah, it's been targeted to African-American communities as well as other priority populations as well. The tobacco industry is very savvy. They're very smart. They know that menthol masks the harshness of tobacco. And so menthol was put in cigarettes at certain levels to make it easier to smoke. When the tobacco industry decided that it wanted a certain population to smoke, they would then intentionally go to those communities and offer free cigarettes, sponsor different events, bribe politicians, offer money to different churches, civic organizations, and even colleges and universities to get them to be silent as they continue those communities.
Cut out there for a moment, Amont. Do we have you now?
Yes, okay, I'm here.
And our flavored products, whether we're talking about a menthol cigarettes or sweetened cigars or now these flavored e-cigarettes, are these kind of a gateway to tobacco for younger smokers in particular?
Yeah, for younger smokers, again, anyone that the tobacco industry wants to start smoking, they're going to put some type of flavor, menthol or flavor, to attract them to the product. The menthol attracts them, the nicotine addicts them.
Now we've heard, as I mentioned, some tobacco companies saying, okay, the harm of smoking a menthol cigarette isn't any greater than the harm of smoking a non-menthol cigarette, so it's unfair to regulate them differently. What would you say to that argument?
Well, very simply, African Americans actually smoke less cigarettes than other populations. They smoke less. However, they die more rapidly of diseases that are tobacco-related. Well, that's because when they do smoke menthol, because it's so easy, because it's so smooth and soothing going down, they tend to smoke more. They tend to inhale more. So smoking menthol products makes it more harmful to you, and it makes it harder to quit.
Can you talk about the health impact of tobacco among African Americans in the United States? How big is the problem?
46,000 African-Americans die every year from tobacco-related diseases, and that's a huge, huge problem. So if we're trying to save lives, and we know that we're smoking mentholated tobacco products, one of the ways that we can save lives, to save some of those lives, is by this ban.
Now, the FDA is suggesting this ban. It's not a done deal. It would require various stages of approval. Probably it would face lawsuits. Do you think that ultimately this is something that could happen, this ban?
Well, to be quite frank, back in 2009, when the Family Smoking and Tobacco Prevention Act was passed, we advocated then, don't exclude menthol. Please include menthol in this. Don't leave menthol out. Well, they didn't listen to us. Now, for whatever reasons it was, they still went on with this this Tobacco Act. They left menthol out, and we advocated ever since to include it. Now, when we saw that there was going to be no movement, what the advocates did was we started a different angle. We started advocating for local menthol sales restrictions. Since we knew that localities couldn't ban menthol, localities could restrict the sale of menthol. So that's happening right now across the country at a community level. That's going to continue happening. So the FDA, we applaud them for their decision, and we hope that they're able to get this passed. But even if they can't, we're going to continue action at the local level to restrict the sale of menthol community by community by community.
How has that worked at the local community level? What kind of restrictions have communities passed on the sale of menthol cigarettes?
It started in Chicago back in 2013. Chicago started with a 500-foot buffer zone around the public schools, and they passed that. And so they couldn't sell mentholated flavored cigarettes between a 500-foot buffer zone of any school around in Chicago. So that was the first ever restriction on the sale of menthol. Well, since then, you had municipalities like Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Duluth, Minnesota, that passed a restriction saying you could only sell mentholated tobacco products in adult-only stores. Now, that was a success, and that was a gradual success from having the 500-foot buffer zone. But now we have places in California that are having citywide bans on the sale of menthol cigarettes. Started in San Francisco, the tobacco industry came out against it in full force. However, the voters in San Francisco overwhelmingly supported that ban. And so it became the first city to enact a citywide ban, and other cities in California have followed suit.
One question I might have is, if menthol cigarettes are banned in a city, does everyone just move to non-mentholated cigarettes, or does it lead to an overall decline in the number of people who smoke, or maybe the number of youth who start smoking in the first place?
Well, it's definitely going to lead to all of those things that you just said. Now, studies have been taken and have shown, African Americans have said, hey, look, if you ban menthol, then I'm going to just quit smoking. I've wanted to quit anyway, and if menthol were banned, this would be my opportunity to quit. Now, of course, this was a study, and this is what people have said. We know that nicotine is a powerful, powerful addiction, and so we hope that that's the case, but this is what folks have said. But the mere fact that youth, our young people, are banned from having access to those products means that youth aren't going to start initiation.
Talking to Del Monte Jefferson with the National African American Tobacco Prevention Network about this call from the FDA to, among other things, ban menthol cigarettes. This also covers flavored vaping products, not a ban, but actually similar to what you said about what some communities did with menthol, saying, okay, you can sell flavored vaping products. They have to be in a separate room or in an 18 and up store. Is this an issue you're tracking? And if so, what do you think of this idea from the FDA?
I think the exact same thing when they had the ban originally on flavored cigarettes and they excluded menthol. The exact same scenario plays out. Do not exclude menthol or flavored e-cigarette juices and the like. You must also include them in your sales restrictions. I know that some folks have said, adults have said, that they've used them as cessation aids. However, the fact that you're keeping menthol in them is going to make it appealing and attractive to young people. And so you have to go ahead and keep that same ban across the board, menthol, flavored e-cigarettes as well. And so the FDA, in my opinion, should strengthen that ban that they're having, should strengthen those restrictions on the e-cigarettes and include menthol and flavors as well.
Now, looking in the long haul, Del Monte, what are you seeing when it comes to the rates of smoking for African Americans? Are we making some headway here?
We are making some headway. Yes, we are. And we're going to make even more headway as long as, again, we don't simply depend and say that the FDA is going to solve all of our problems. This problem will be solved if we, at the local level, with communities, take ownership and ban the sale of mentholated tobacco products. Whether they're tobacco, whether they're e-cigarettes or whatever, if communities take ownership and pass these types of restrictions, I think that we're going to see even greater progress.
Right. This FDA ban, if it happened, this is at least a couple of years away. Are you seeing, you know, as you said, it started in Chicago, then spread to other communities, are you seeing growing interest from cities and other local governments in this idea of restricting access to menthol cigarettes?
Absolutely. That has grown. Again, with Chicago being the first back in 2013, we've seen a steady progression. I think that what the FDA put out last week in terms of their proposal to ban menthol, I am hopeful that there will even that will strengthen this movement even further to say, hey, yeah, you can go ahead and ban menthol if you like, ban menthol and tobacco products. But we as communities now that you've acknowledged, FDA, that it's a problem, we're going to take ownership of this ourselves, and we're going to ban and restrict the sale of mentholated tobacco products in our communities. That's the ownership that we're looking for.
And have you seen legal challenges to these local bans?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, Chicago's ban was challenged twice and won in both cases. And so once it was won in the courts, then we knew that we had a winner because it was challenged. We had precedent that it could last, that cities and local jurisdictions did have the authority legally and within the courts to challenge and to uphold this ban. And so this is something that has been tested, it has been proven, and again, it's a movement that's taking place.
And one thing we haven't touched on, the FDA also about banning flavored cigar products, sweetened cigars, again, saying there may be a starting tobacco use for minors. Is that something you were hoping for?
Well, absolutely. Again, we wanted this to be inclusive, all-inclusive, back in 2009. And even back in 2016, when the FDA tried to exercise this authority over e-cigarettes and cigars, we were very hopeful at that point in time. And everything was looking good that they were going to have that authority over the cigars until it got to the Office of Management and Budget, and then all that language that gave them that authority was stripped from the documents. And so, we're hopeful, again, that they move in this direction. But we're confident that even if they don't, we're still going to gather this and control this at the local level.
Del Monte, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Rod. I appreciate the opportunity.
That's Del Monte Jefferson. He's executive director of the National African American Tobacco Prevention Network. We talked to them today about the FDA's proposal that would, if approved, ban menthol tobacco products along with sweetened cigar products and have restrictions on some flavored e-cigarettes as well, requiring them to be in separate 18 and up rooms or in 18 and up stores only. That does exclude, as he was mentioning there, as I understand it, menthol flavored e-cigarette products.